Pastor Ed on where to find grace in an ungracious world.
You know, no one is more righteous than God. No one is more gracious than God. No one is more tender-hearted. No one is more long-suffering. No one is more forgiving than our great and gracious God. And that's where you'll find grace too. You may not always find it with the people close to you. You may not always find it with a pastor. You might hit a pastor on a bad day. He just has a bad day. He's got his own life. He's got issues he's dealing with, of course. But you'll always find grace with God. You'll never hit God on a bad day. You'll never show up, oh, no, God's taking a sabbatical. He's not available right now. Pastors, we need sabbaticals. God doesn't need one. He sustains. You'll find grace with God as well.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Glad you could join us today for Abounding Grace, online at aboundinggraceradio.com. In a moment, we'll hear from Pastor Ed Taylor, who today continues his series in Genesis, Noah's Ark. You may have heard a thing or two about it in Sunday school, but what you may not realize is it beautifully portrays our salvation and God's marvelous grace and where to find it. We'll learn about this and more today as we deep dive into chapter 6. Here's Pastor Ed.
Genesis chapter 6, we're going to pick up where we left off last time. Because remember, we ran out of time in our last study as the Holy Spirit took us in a direction that took a lot of time to follow Him. And we learned how fast sin spread and multiplied. We learned what the last days of Noah looked like. Why is that significant? Because Jesus said that right before He returns, the days that that generation lives in will be like the days of Noah. And it's important that we understand. We learn what the days of Noah look like. We learn that compromise always leads to more compromise. The decision, the direction that you choose, step one, that step two will be in that same direction. Step three, and the longer you go, the more in sin or compromise you find yourself in. We learned how in this time around Noah that man was fashioning and imagining new ways to sin. And Noah was living in a time where man was existing to fulfill the desires of his flesh. They were living for the cult of beauty and sex. They were living for money and possessions and entertainment and position and power and recognition and personal honor. Noah was living in a time where men were willfully forgetting God altogether and living for themselves, self-gratification. Paul, if you want for homework, can describe it in a different way in Romans chapter 1 of that degradation of man turning his back on God. Well, it didn't start in the time of the first century. It began here just years after Adam and Eve were created. Man's minds were full of vain imaginations. It was so bad in the days of Noah that God's heart was grieved over it. You know, you too can grieve the Holy Spirit. So can I. We can live in such a way that would bring dishonor to our God and hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, it's right here. God is grieved. And there in the middle of this ungracious world is Noah. And we learned that his name means rest. That there is rest in the chaos. That's Noah. There's rest. There's protection. There's a guard available to you, even in the midst of your ungracious family, your ungracious world, your ungracious workplace, your ungracious neighborhood. There's rest that's found, almost so much greater than Noah. The Bible tells us that our rest is in Jesus Christ, that we can enter into His rest. and have peace in the midst of a storm, to have a calmness about us. And what did it say, as we learned last time in verse 8 of chapter 6? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not only did Noah find grace, by the way, but so did the unbelieving world for 100 years. They found grace as Noah became a preacher of righteousness, building the ark, obeying God. With every hammer, every cutting of a log, every preparation was a message of the grace of God and the hope of forgiveness. We tend to be so quick to act, but God, he's patient. And could it be the very trials and testings you're in right now is to draw you closer to the heart of God so you too will be patient? That I will walk in love and mercy and grace in a very ungracious world. You know that evil company corrupts good habits, and living in such a vicious world can make you vicious, can make you angry and frustrated. It can draw out for you instant retaliation and action, which is almost always in the flesh. It's almost always self-protective. But Noah stands as a testimony to us, even now, thousands of years later, that living in the days of Noah, as Noah did, living in the days like Noah, as we do, you can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we emphasized last time how Noah found grace, and we emphasized that part of the verb that speaks of finding and receiving. You know, he found it, as if he was looking for it. And I do believe there's a great application, as we emphasize, looking for the grace of God. But really, the context of Noah finding grace is that he received it. He received grace in an ungracious world, which then would lead him to look for it and find it. But the essence of verse 8 is that God was gracious to Noah. Although he was a good man and a faithful man, notice with me in verse 9, the genealogy of Noah. He was a just man, perfect, or you could also write next to that, blameless in all his generations. He walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And grace was found, notice, in relationship. Grace is found and experienced in relationship. Grace is found, experienced, and enjoyed in relationship. We see he found grace, but he walked with God. There is a correlation to the manner of your life and what you find. And as we emphasized last time, you find what you're looking for. And as you look for the grace of God, you'll find it, because it'll bring you right to the God of grace. You see, grace is, as good as grace isn't the end. You know the end? God of grace. He's worthy of our worship. And it's so wonderful to experience what it made Noah. He made Noah a man of great character. The grace of God made Noah a man that was blameless. The grace of God enabled Noah to raise a family in the midst of ungracious world. In a God-hating world, his kids made it. They worshiped the God of their dad. They followed in his footsteps. The grace of God gave Noah a life that was enjoyable in the midst of difficult circumstances. God promised from the beginning a godly seed of believers. He promised from the beginning a godly seed of believers through whom a Savior would come and deliver mankind, all those who would repent and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, the emphasis of Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord is actually a picture of the great promise giver. There have been movements in the past, even recently, that emphasizes we, as especially men in particular, as promise keepers. And as much as I believe it's important to keep your promises and to obey God when the Bible says let your yes be yes, it's more important that your eyes are not on the promise keeper, because you will fail, but rather to get your eyes on the promise giver, because whatever God gives, he will fulfill. We don't always fulfill. Is there an amen? I set you up for that. We don't always fulfill our promises. We don't always keep them perfectly. We don't always deliver. Even the spirit is willing, but what? The flesh can be so weak. But I can guarantee you on the authority of God's word, there isn't a promise that God has ever given that he hasn't fulfilled or that he won't soon fulfill. Because he's the promise giver, and therefore he is the perfect promise keeper. So Noah finding grace in the eyes of God is actually God keeping his promise. God found a man that he might perpetuate the lineage for Messiah to come. After all the disaster and all the death and sin. And what was Noah's response? Noah believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Just like you and me, we follow in the same footsteps. You believe God? You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then God accounts it unto righteousness. You and I stand now in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ because you believe God. It's the same thing that happened in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. He says, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Without any works on your part. If you come to God and demand God to honor your works, then you don't come by faith. Here are my works, God. Now account it to me for righteousness. And he goes, no, it doesn't work like that. You couldn't bring me anything that would move me to account righteousness on your behalf. But you can believe me. God says, that's what I'll let you do. You want to participate in this divine mystery? This is what I'll let you do. I'll let you believe of your own free will. And when you believe, it's accounted to you for righteousness. So finding grace is really revealing God as the God that gives promises and keeps his promises. God took Noah's belief and counted it as righteousness, as faith now, and grace always go together. And I was reminded of the times that Jesus himself encouraged belief. To the ruler of the synagogue, remember he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 36, he says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. How much fear is among us today? How much concern and anxiety? How many real situations you are facing today? And you can hear the Lord say, don't be afraid, just believe. Trust me. And for some, it's not too long ago that we can look back to see God's faithfulness in the past. That God has come through for us, kept his promises to us. The power of faith, believing in God, trusting in him no matter what the world is doing, what the world is into. And it is important for us to ask on occasion, maybe even somebody needs to make a plaque. That's how important this is for you. You make a plaque and put it up on your wall and just write it up there. Every time you get frustrated, every time you get upset, every time you get stirred up with the nastiness in this world, here's what you can say. You can make it your own variation, but put a plaque up somewhere where you see it all the time and just say, what do you expect the world to do? And just ask yourself, what do you expect the world to do? What is it that has broken your expectations? The world is living in rebellion against the love of God. What do you expect them to do? The answer is for their hearts to be changed, for them to be alive spiritually, for them to see what they don't currently see, understand what they can't understand apart from the Spirit. What do you expect the world to do? And that could change your perspective to begin to pray for the frustrations and praying out the things that you're carrying and the burdens that are upon you. Sure, when you see the sin of men, it's going to elicit a response. I would be surprised if you don't get upset. And I'd be surprised if you don't get angry. And I'd be surprised if there is not some emotional, because you don't want the world to harden you. You don't want the world to make you careless. You don't want the world to make you so divided in your mind where, you know, we'll just let them go to hell. No. It's our brothers and our sisters and our in-laws. Those are our neighbors and our bosses. That God would break our heart for the things that break his heart, that bring grief to him. And right there, Noah, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, was a man that stood out. He found grace where it could be found. You know, no one is more righteous than God. No one is more gracious than God. No one is more tender-hearted. No one is more long-suffering. No one is more forgiving than our great and gracious God. And that's where you'll find grace too. You may not always find it with the people close to you. You may not always find it with a pastor. You might hit a pastor on a bad day. He just has a bad day. He's got his own life. He's got issues he's dealing with, of course. But you'll always find grace with God. You'll never hit God on a bad day. You'll never show up, oh, no. God's taking a sabbatical. He's not available right now. Pastors, we need sabbaticals. God doesn't need one. He sustains. You'll find grace with God as well. No one's more forgiving than God. No one's more gracious. And even though you'll find grace there, his grace will find you first. Remember we read, seems to be a theme. I'm always interested as God repeats verses throughout the different studies on the weekends and the midweek. And this is probably the third or fourth time that this passage has come up in my notes on the topic, whatever topic it is. But thinking about how grace is finding you, I'm reminded again where the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's actively looking for those men and women whose hearts are what? Loyal toward him. Loyalty toward the Lord. Commitment. You're in an ungracious world. What's God looking for? Loyalty. Commitment. I like that. God is really, if you want to narrow it down, God is really looking for the man or the woman that's looking for him. Or as we prayed today, looking to him. Or as we learn in Hebrews chapter 12, would you turn over there with me in Hebrews chapter 12? God is really looking for that man or woman, that young man, that young woman, that boy or that girl that's looking to him, whose eyes are firmly fixed on him. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, as the hall of faith comes to an end. Let's go back to chapter 11 real quick and pick up in the hall of faith and be reminded of how Noah is remembered in the new covenant. Would you pick up in verse 7? Because he's one of the witnesses that are going to be mentioned in chapter 12. Notice in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. Even long before it was accounted to Abraham righteousness, it was accounted to Noah righteous. He's one of the witnesses. Notice now in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Noah being one of them, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. How do we get endurance? One of the ways that we get endurance in James chapter 1, the testings of our faith. All the difficulties in the room today is building endurance in our lives. Every single last one of them. God is making us stronger men, stronger women of faith because of the testings. And you think, well, you know, it just depends on how I respond. Well, you know, you can accelerate the progress a little bit if you respond well, but even if you respond incorrectly, God is still going to use the testings in your life to build your faith and to give you endurance. Because think about it. Some of you have a tendency to beat yourself up, and you're here right now. And you're not even here right now. You're listening on the radio, and you're kind of like as far from other believers as you possibly can, watching online, listening on the radio. You know what? But you're hungry for the Word of God. You love God, but you're just beating yourself up so bad because you're like, look at my life. Look at what a failure I am. Look how difficult. But you know what? You're still seeking the Lord. That counts for something. Give yourself some credit, not like it's taking credit from God, but like stop disobeying God and condemning yourself and go, no, I do have a heart for God. I'm just sick of failing. And begin to pray about the failures. Begin to respond to the difficulties of your flesh. Do what the Bible says. Crucify your flesh. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, don't come back to church. Hey, what happened to you? Wrestling with sin. Where's your arm? It's been a bad week. He's using hyperbole. And this is what Jesus is saying to us today. This is what Jesus is saying. If there's radical sin in your life, deal with it radically. Stop messing around. Stop coddling it like a little baby. Stop identifying by your struggle. Begin to identify by the victory that's yours in Christ. Moment by moment. Just little by little. And you guys that are staying distant and away from fellowship, come back in. Don't disobey anymore. Don't be in such a deep sense of condemnation that now that condemnation's bad enough, but now you don't want to be around other believers. It would have been good for you to be here and pray with the saints. Literally praying with one another. Many that don't want to pray with one another are missing out on so much, aren't they? Just praying for a few minutes together. Praying for other people's needs. I mean, for some of us, for 10 minutes of praying for someone else, it's just such an encouragement. It's 10 minutes I don't have to worry about my own problems. But then I'm going to the God that I'm praying so much faith with somebody else's problem. The Lord says, well, son, while you're here, let's talk about yours. Oh, no, I don't want to talk about mine right now. No, I would do. Because you have a father that loves you. You think it's only Noah that finds grace? No, you find grace too. You think the world is disintegrating at a rapid rate? It is. And it was in Noah's time. It brought upon a worldwide flood, as we'll see in coming chapters, even as the days in which we live will be sudden judgment. Sudden judgment.
This is Abounding Grace, and Pastor Ed Taylor is leading a study of Genesis right now. You can hear these radio programs on our website anytime at AboundingGraceRadio.com. Another way to go and grow in the Word is by downloading our app. Search for Ed Taylor. This is a great way for you to take in the Word of God wherever you may be. Abounding Grace is also available by podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and Apple. It's not a bad idea from time to time to sit down with a mature, older believer in Christ and hear what they have to say about the Christian pilgrimage. Well, you might say that's the sort of wisdom you'll glean from Warren Wiersbe's book on being a servant of God. He shares in it what he wishes he had known about ministering to others when he began his walk with the Lord. Ministry, he says, takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Request a copy today when you give a gift of $25 or more to Abounding Grace. Call 877-30-GRACE. I should also mention the book is available online at our e-store. Take a look at calvaryco.store. calvaryco.store. There are some costs that go with being on the radio like this, and we're looking to the Lord to provide for us. If He's leading you to take an active role in the ministry through either a one-time gift or ongoing support, please visit us online at AboundingGraceRadio.com or call 877-30-GRACE. Well, Pastor Ed, today we learned quite a bit about the life of Noah and how God was gracious to him. He walked with God and found grace, living in a world much like our own. Any concluding thoughts on how we too can find grace in an ungracious world?
Well, you know, Larry, they say that you find what you're looking for. And it's a very important principle that we are living and walking and looking for the grace of God. Even living for, looking for the and hastening the coming of the Lord, who is grace personified. If our eyes are on the world, then we're going to be very discouraged. We're going to be beat up. We're going to have fuel the fires of hopelessness. But how do we find grace in an ungracious world? We keep our eyes on the Lord. We are in His Word, praying and reading the Bible every day. We're also in a place, and this is so important, you guys that are listening, please, this is so important. Like, you find grace by living in an abiding relationship with Jesus. The world is going to be the world. Don't be surprised that the world's going to be the world. But you are from another kingdom. You are not of this world. Jesus spoke to us, we're in this world, we're not of this world. Hold fast, hold tight, Look for his soon return, and you too will find favor and grace from the Lord as you keep your eyes on him.
A good note to end on. Thanks again, Pastor Ed. And listening friend, come back tomorrow when we'll share the rest of Pastor Ed Taylor's message, Finding Grace in an Ungracious World. That's here on Abounding Grace.
This is amazing grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.